somewhere farther out in life. They marched along in victory.
Father, we thank you for the 10 days of prayer that we have begun. Lord, we are now in the fourth day, and I thank you for what we have learned during those days. I pray now, Lord, that as Sister Amanda reviews the robe that she started this morning, that you'll make everything clear to your children. I thank you, Lord, for what I have learned. And I pray, Lord, that I'll not only keep these things to myself, but I'll be able to share them with others. May you continue to pour your Holy Spirit upon Sister Amanda as she makes everything clear to your children as we patiently wait to hear. I do pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sister Amanda, are you there? Who do I have on the line?
Good evening to you, Sister William. How are you?
Yeah.
Sister Joanna.
Hi, Sister Joanna.
That's my Sister Joanna.
Good evening, Sister William.
Hi, Sister Grant. Good evening.
Yes, not too long coming from church.
Oh, yes. We had kind of very beautiful service this morning. We weren't able to meet last week because we had problems, you know, with our heating system. And we did we had a consecration service today for those who, you know, the new officers to the church, as well as, you know, going over some of the qualities that needed, that are needed for a servant leader. Will you just offer a short prayer, Sister Amon? I haven't heard Sister Amanda.
Precious Savior, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you have afforded us to enter into the fourth day of this prayer and fasting. Lord, you have been speaking to me and many of us individually. Continue to shine your light upon us. I pray for Sister Amanda, and I pray for Sister Patton and Jesse in a special way. Mm-hmm. And all of us on board now and who is going to be coming, help us to take these lessons individually, personally, and apply them to our hearts. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Grant, will you pray?
And Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, for life. We want to thank you for the wonderful Sabbath that has passed. And I want to thank you for what I've learned, for the little time that I have been listening to the prayer and fasting and what Sister Amanda has taught. And even testimony time today, I was sharing it about them, to them, that they will need to come on and the prayer line just to learn more what our sister has been sharing with us. So now tonight as I come home, dear God, and I come back on, I am so grateful that I could continue to be a part and to listen. Bless whatever is going to be said and done. And bless the rest, all those who are listening. And even right now, bless this great prayer line in no other name but in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me find out again. Sister Amanda, are you on the line?
Yes, sis. Sorry about that. Yes, I'm on.
You have been prayed on already, dear.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Loving Father, we thank you for your intercessory prayer on our behalf. And we thank you for your children partnering with you, interceding on behalf of others. Thank you for these days of journeying with you and celebrating a new day. Where mercies are renewed, for the scripture reminds us that it was evening and morning, and then it was the fourth day. And so as we continue becoming responsible and accountable for this temple that you have purchased with your blood, may Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, the law being written upon the mind and the heart, come to be experienced continually. For Christ's sake, breathe your breath upon us once again, and may that regenerating, abiding presence rest, remain, and abide with us as we continue to praise, adore, and give you thanks for your patience, your long suffering, and your mercy towards erring men, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. All right, good evening again, and welcome to the Global Prayer Hotline. I want to go through this morning session. I want to go back, because it's very important for us, for those who are not on, go back and to look at the scripture and to remind us about, a lot of times when we read the scriptures, we tend to just pray through the scriptures like that. But when we begin to get the understanding, our prayers become different, right? And so we want to go back and review that. And if you have any questions for those who were not on, in our studies that we've been doing, we see that Seventh-day Adventists, well, we are not the wise virgins. And I think that's one of the highlights for us to understand in the scriptures and how the swelling of the Jordan, how the experiences that God is giving his people in the end times, we ought to know our positions, where we are, the duties that need to be performed, so that the the righteousness of Christ will continue to accompany us so that the Spirit will not only dwell among us, but the Word of God will be fulfilled. He shall dwell within you. All right? But before we start, I just want to give a second or a minute or two. Anyone would like to testify about any blessings to receive? Be specific, short and court, so we can give each other a couple of minutes. Anyone, if you would like to testify, you have an opportunity as we embark, continuing on this journey, this lifestyle through the sanctuary. Remember, the sanctuary is not a study. It's practically a journey that prepares us for eternity. All right? Anyone? Anyone with any testimony or any questions for any study that
I want to testify, Sister Grant, this morning, because when I get up and I come on the line, I wasn't getting anything, and I was feeling so sick, I said I wasn't going to church. And then after I studied that, I was coming on the line after 5, just to hear Sister Amanda and what was going on. And I say, God, today is a Sabbath, let me get up and go to church. I went to church and I had a wonderful time. And I want to give God praise and thanks for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that get me up off of my bed and went in. And the topic was about stand up. And I enjoyed so much when I think about standing up and all what Sister Amanda has preached about. And everything came together and I given God praise and thanks that I could stand up even right now and come straight into it.
Amen. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you. The scripture tells us that Michael will stand up. We thank you that your daughter has been standing up through the power of your divine spirit, appreciating the message from your messenger. As you continue to draw her into a closer relationship with you, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Anyone else? No one else?
Today was very special for me because I don't want to talk when other people are listening, but since my mother died, somebody has been giving me a hard time in church. They say, what is that you have on? Push me. Give me pass. And all that sort of thing. And I never open my mouth. And they did something to me. What is that you're wearing? Oh, I'm not taking set on you anymore. I'm mad with you because you never let me talk at your mother's funeral. For 3 years. Because it's... The end of next month will be 4 years since my mother died. And I never opened my mouth or say anything. And during the end of December, I'm always praying about it. And I know I cannot hate that person. But the Holy Spirit gave me utterance to write a note to her openly. And I wrote on the note, Sister so-and-so, I love you with all of my heart. I always did and I always will. And I wrote in the paper, I leave you Psalms 25:1-3. And after service today, she grabbed me and hugged me. Your mother was a matriarch in this church and she loved me, and I don't understand how we're not talking with each other. She's still blaming me for what she has been doing to me. But I was able to know from the bottom of my heart that I cannot afford to have any grudge. And then the lesson that I learned today, the topic of the message was out, a pebble in your eye. And it, part of it came from Psalms 51:1-4. And he talked about a lot of things. And what was it? Pride prevents seeing the right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And how Achan, sin in the camp. No matter what we do, if sin is in the camp, Achan sinned, but the entire army was under siege as a result of that. A lot of stuff, and it showed me. And it came in line with what Dr. Luke Keefe talked about and what Sister Amanda spoke about yesterday. I said, my God, even when somebody wrong you, it's not about them, it's about your soul salvation. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how I feel. Lord, I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Although she seemed to blame me as if I'm doing something, she pushed me, she did a lot of things. And she said to me, I'm not taking a set on you, you know. And I have not opened my mouth once, sir. But I'm vexed because you didn't make me speak at your mother's funeral. My mother's funeral almost took half a day. And I had to take off names, and nobody came to me and told me I have to speak and so on. It was rough for me. And she giving me a hard time as a result of that. But God delivered me. She cannot say or do anything to me to prevent me from going to heaven. Because my gaze is not on what people do to me. My gaze is forward, upward, constant, climbing up the ladder. And you have said a lot in your all what you have admonished us with about this, without saying it the way I'm saying it. And I thank you, Sister Amanda.
Loving Father, we thank you. For it's your word and your spirit that brings about conviction. And we thank you that your daughter is learning to submit to the power in bringing transformation, you bringing transformation in her life and her experiencing the comfort that comes through the power of deliverance. Thank you again. Be with that sister, Lord. Be with that sister and the many other sisters in the church that seems to be holding grudges, hindering their own soul and their family from enjoying the peace which passes all understanding. May your words become a delight with the acceptance of the washing so that we can see you, behold you, and become changed, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. All right. I guess the saints are a little tired themselves. We're going to get back into this morning's study because I'm sure some of you missed it, but I would like for you to hear and for us to go back. And I want to ask someone to read and read with the clarity Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. We can rush through this because we went through it this morning, but I would like us to go through it again. Because in other words, this study here tonight, this morning and tonight, which is the same, if this is not our foundation, the holiness, the anointing, the bare feet, all of that is a myth. It's a myth. So this is the foundation. When this is the foundation, when this becomes your foundation and my foundation, then the holiness, the anointing, and the bare feet, the results of character formation will take place. All right? So, can someone kindly jump in and read for us Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10?
I read it, Sister Amanda.
Thank you so much, Sister William.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he had clothed me with the garment of salvation. He had covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorned herself with a jewel.
Amen. We notice here, we're going to look at the three main aspects here in the scriptures. My eyes are a little foggy, right? So we're going to look at the clothing of the garment of salvation. That's one. The robe of righteousness is another. And then the bridegroom decked, just the bridegroom. Right, so there is a difference with the garment of salvation. There is a difference between the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. The garment of salvation is the gift. And then the robe of righteousness is the reward. Take note, saints, because you need to know this. We need to know this. I hope you have your pen and your paper. The garment of salvation is the gift. The robe of righteousness is the reward. Now, we're building a team. We're building to see what Jesus did and how we can follow. Then let's look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10. We have to know the difference. When you read, every time you read the Bible, when the scripture says in Isaiah 28, 9, and 10, the line upon line, pause at the commas, because right there is a principle of God is showing us. Right? Pause at the commas to see. Meditate and contemplate and pray through this thing for yourself. All right. So now let's look at Matthew 25. So we're going to look at the bridegroom here, just to have us, give us some assurance here. Matthew 25 and verse 10.
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
All right. So we know the story about the bridegroom, right? Now, this parable here has a twofold meaning also. Again, take note as we continue. Take note. The first phase is the bridegroom, right? The bridegroom going into his father to receive the bride. One phase. The second phase is the bridegroom going to the marriage feast for the celebration with the invited guests. Go this over again, twofold. The going to the bridegroom, to the father to receive the bride. Second fold, the bridegroom to the marriage feast for the celebration of the invited guest. We ought to know the beginning, the root. We're looking for the root of a relationship with God. All right. So here we have the garment of salvation, which is a gift. The robe of righteousness, which is the reward, the bridegroom going to the father, and then the bridegroom going into the marriage feast to celebrate the invited guests. Now, that last part did not occur as yet. That's going to happen. That's the coming of Christ, right? So we're going to look at the bridegroom going to the father. When we look at the four main principles in this scripture, then we go right back and we look at the foundation, because Christ is the foundation. So we begin to look at the bridegroom going to the Father for the reception. Now, this is where we begin to understand that we are, if you're praying to be a wise virgin, you might miss the ship with Jesus. Right? Because we're not supposed to be, Seventh-day Adventists not supposed to be the right virgin, the wise virgin. We ought to be, in the parable, the people who are proclaiming the bridegroom cometh, the bridegroom cometh. The three groups here that the scripture, go back and study Matthew 25. Now, a lot of times you pick up Christ's object lesson. Any parable in the Bible that is given, not one is complete in itself, right? Not one of them, they are linked. But they are all linked on the platform of this sanctuary that God has given to us. Remember this constantly. Hang this up in your memorial hall. Christ is the author. Christ is the instructor. And Christ is the interpreter. Usually we would say he is the author and he is the interpreter, but we forget the symbols are there to bring about the interpretation of the scriptures. All right, so the bridegroom going into the father. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Again, can someone read it? Sister Reader.
I saw in the night, let me see if my phone is on.
We're not hearing you.
I was checking to see if my phone was on. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him.
All right. You got this. Here it is. In the scriptures, you can see one, the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days, right? In other words, he's coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. right? He is coming from the holy to the most holy.
All right?
He is coming from the holy to the most holy. Remember, there's two compartments in heaven, right? The book of Hebrews, when you study this, you will see the book of Hebrews help us to understand that. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 and 10.
And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up.
No, that's not Revelation. Revelation 21. 21. Yeah. 9 and 10.
21. And
there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come to them, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
All right. So when Christ came into the most holy, to the Ancient of Days, it was to receive his kingdom. Right? Can we see that? We see this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, especially in verse 14. He came in to receive his kingdom. Saints, I hope you have your Bibles open.
Yeah.
Right? So we saw that he came in. Now, there are three titles given here: the New Jerusalem, the Bride, and the Lamb's Wife. We also know characteristic of, once a title is given, this characteristic that is important for us to know so we can implement. That's why you just don't read the scripture and pray them out without studying the word. It's the same command that God has given us to keep the Sabbath holy. It's the same command he said that we should dress and eat this way. It's the same command that he gives to study the word of God. Right? So we just can't sit without studying the word of God. So here it is now that Jesus has moved into the most holy. This new Jerusalem is in heaven. Right? The new Jerusalem is in heaven. The bride and the Lamb's wife. All right. So if in this aspect here, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11, you would notice that the topic this morning was the robe. So there is an inspection and investigation that is taking place when he enters to see who is fit for his kingdom, his fifth subject. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11, can we read this, please?
And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
All right. Right? So in other words, when you enter in with Christ by faith, duties in service will become a delight. That's why you would hear Ellen G. White saying, no excuses, because you have been bought. That's why the language changes, not my body, I have been purchased, not me, but the Lord. So the word, in other words, he's casting down imagination. He's casting imagination and bringing thought into the knowledge and the obedience of Christ, because every dot and tittle, Christ's children will become students of the word of God, living epistles, making the scriptures a practical daily living. Let me pause here for prayer. If you're understanding the sequence, let's pause here now, just to give God thanks if you're understanding. Anyone?
Well, I must pray. I know that I have to be ready even right now, because I know that Jesus is soon to come. So I have to be ready with my garments, with the robe of righteousness, which means to say I must be in the Word, clothing myself, so that when He come and He is to call me, even though while I'm sleeping and something is to happen, I will be ready. I mightn't understand everything because it's a lot of scripture, but I do know that I have to make myself ready so that when He come, regardless, I could go into Him.
All right, can I correct you on one of the things that you said there?
Yes.
Well, it's not your covering, it's His covering. The righteousness is the reward those who have been diligently. Remember, the garment of salvation is a gift.
Yes.
But the Advent movement, those who are in, are not looking at the gift, because the gifts are given. You're looking at the giver of the gift, cultivating a relationship with Him through the manifestation of the duties, while the garment is being you're preparing for the garment to be placed on you.
In other words, wise, I am here.
In other words, we ought to become faithful sentinels.
Yes.
In the presence of a holy God, with the assurance that Jesus, as the true witness, will cover His children.
Okay.
All right? Go ahead.
Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for the words of inspiration. I want to thank you for the living procession. And I ask you, dear Lord, to open up my understanding, even right now, that I might think I know everything and understand everything, but I thank you, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit is working into me to will and to do your good pleasure. Thanking you in Jesus' name for Amanda as she continue in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Dear Heavenly Father, I understand that we must have the wedding garment because you are looking at the guest. To see who has the righteousness, the reward of righteousness of Christ. And I just pray, Father, that you help me to understand better Revelation. In Jesus' name, please open my understanding. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She touched what I was going to talk about, the garment, because it says when the king came in and saw the guest, he saw there was a man which did not have on the wedding garment. So it's not what we think, it's what God sees in us, and we cannot be covering up our shortcomings. We have to live through the Word, so we'll experience not only the gift, but the reward of the gift that Christ will give to us if we're obedient.
All right, let me say this to you, sis, before you pray. We need to do the duties. The gift the only way we could be there, invited by faith in the Most Holy, is because of the gift of the Son of God. Now, because we understand that the gift of the garment of salvation is upon us, we now will fulfill the duties. And because we are fulfilling the duties, it's because Jesus now will cover His children with the righteousness, the righteous robe of Christ.
That's correct.
Our focus is duties.
Yes.
But in duties, no excuses, no fretting, no fussing, no the devil this, no the devil that. Not your neighbor, not your husband, right? In duty, it is Christ and Christ alone. That's why Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. We must come to that point where we too would say from the heart, my meat is to do the will of my Father. It will be manifested in cheerful service to His people. All right? So you could go ahead and pray.
precious Savior, I am so grateful that you have chosen to give me the gift. And so it's my duty to use it wisely. Go out and be a conduit to gain others to your kingdom. Help me to be watchful and mindful and purposeful about my life, studying your words and how your word to speak to me as it speaks. Amen.
Amen. Now, anyone else before I move on?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm trying to understand Revelation 21 verses 9 and 10. See the connection with the other verses.
All right.
So, is Revelation 9 and 10 the conclusion of when Jesus has gone through the records? Is that what it is? Is Revelation 21, 9 and 10 the conclusion of when Jesus finished going through the records?
No, that's the beginning.
Okay.
It's when he moved in, Revelation 21, 9 and 10 tells us, because he has moved in on the precept, on the principle of Daniel chapter 4, 13 and 14, then it states now that which he has received from his Father. He has received the New Jerusalem. He has the bride, the Lamb's wife, and the bride, right? So they are titles given to the possession of Christ. But in the meantime, he has possessed that gift starting from 1844. He began to do an investigation. It's beginning to see who is worthy to sit with him or to be with him. And so Matthew 22 and verse 11 help us to understand that period, that because he has received the kingdom, there's a process before he comes to celebrate with the guests. You get that? Through the scripture?
Yes, Sister Amanda, I understand that. I see what is throwing me off is the seven vials. That's what's throwing me off. But I understand the explanation that you gave.
Okay, well, once we get the foundation, then you continue to build. You continue to build on the scriptures. But I always encourage people, because that's how God has been leading me. The minute you learn something new, you pray back in thanksgiving, and then as you go forth, you meditate upon it, seeing and seeking object lessons and experience that help for you to retain the scriptures in your heart. Without the experience of the principle, there's no oil in the heart. All right? Okie doke. Anyone else before we move on? Okay. Now let's look at Ezekiel 47 verses 1 to 5. Ezekiel 47 verses 1 to 5.
Afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward. For the forefront of the house stood forward the east, towards the east.
That's okay. Start over again. Right over.
Start it over.
Yeah.
Afterwards, he brought me again onto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the upper gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knee. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were in the line. You find?
Yes. Thank you.
Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swimming, a river that could not be passed over.
Amen. Thank you very much. Now, Ezekiel is having, this is about the sanctuary. How do I know it? Begin to talk about the east side and then the water coming out of the sign. Remember, it was blood and water that came out of Jesus' side. Right? So this is the sanctuary. So we're going to just jump in and see this. This is how we know that we are not the wise virgins. We are they that proclaim the bridegroom cometh. Now, the ankle, the knee, and the loin experience, right? The ankle, the knee, and the loin experience, we ought to be having that loin experience. Now, the river is the fullness of the Spirit of God typified in Christ in Gethsemane. Remember when he struggled there and he said, when he struggled and he said, if it is possible, can this cup? Now, it is very important for us to see through the experiences that we are having to understand them. Right? To understand them because he's growing us up. Now, when the river experiences to take place, we would have enough experience with Christ when we would not be able to do it ourselves, but through the power of the Holy Spirit or the fullness of the Spirit of God will be manifested in and through the life of those who have been growing up and washing their robe in the blood of the Lamb. Because I did this study before on the line with you guys last year too, when we talk about the kingdom of grace to the kingdom of glory, the growth through the kingdom, it's the same principle. You begin to see in the Bible, there is a specific theme that the sanctuary continues to teach about. You twist, you turn, no matter where you put it, it's a sequential, consistent theme that the Bible speaks about. Now, here it is. This now, as Seventh-day Adventists had entered in by faith, right? We have entered into the most holy, to the marriage by faith. That's why it is called righteousness by faith. Now, if you look at this here, if you begin to do some research, you have to go back and you, it's like an accordion. You condense and you broaden. You condense and you broaden the scriptures as you continue your journey in studying. Now, here we see that we have already entered into the most holy place by faith, right? It's called the bread of the presence. That's why the most holy place Bible study is necessary for us to see our condition so we can exchange unrighteousness for righteousness or through the gift of divine repentance as God continues to grow us up. Now, here it is, when we proclaim the bridegroom coming, every day as you witness and you testify about the coming of Christ, the soon arrival, the importance of the health message, dress reform, prayer reform, the importance of studying the Bible on the law, on the principle, the importance of the Sabbath. Now, every day we are testifying in some way or the other, our demeanor, the way we eat, the way we dress. We ought to be a peculiar people. We say that our dress is important. Your dress is a reflection of the heart. Our eating is a reflection of the heart. All right? And eating diet is very, very important. Now, here it is. We are supposed to be or are proclaiming the bridegroom cometh, the bridegroom cometh. In the end of the swelling of the river, God now on the earth, the wise virgins will connect with those who are proclaiming the bridegroom cometh, and so it will, just before the appearing of Christ, they will have just two groups of people on the earth. If you understand that, let me pause right here for you to lift up your voice and give God thanks. If you have a problem, let's ask the question. If you understand, just give God thanks.
Lord,
all right.
Heaven, I thank you so much for your love and your kindness. Thank you for the Isaiah 47, which I'm looking through here as I was listening. How you do your thing, that is the blood, the waters represent. Things, heaven. Thank you for Sister Amanda and the rest. Could I have the peace of Sister Amanda and Joanna and the rest of them? Be with them and guide them as we study. And as we do this fasting of 10 days and this fasting, Lord, I want you to help me to understand, to know the right thing to do, and some of the behaviors and appetites which I'm in it. Please help me. I was talking to you today. I said, Lord, help me. For the book I'm using for the series, if you can find me something I can use for my series, Lord. I've been praying for this, Lord. Find me a way. Find me something that I can replace that milk that I'm using for them. Please. And my children also. And everyone on the line that I have addicted for something they want to live. Help us, please, to live them by your power and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving Savior, I pray with the understanding that before you come, it's going to be two people on this earth, the just and the unjust. I pray, Lord, that my attitude and my disposition from now on will allow me to be justified by you when you come. I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Or any questions if you don't understand, if you have some problems with it.
Heavenly Father, I understand that this is another experience where Jesus will overflow in us, Lord, like river of living water. And Lord, I would like to have that experience that I can share with others as well, Lord. And I just pray that you give me that desire and that love. And please help me to understand a little better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
Yes, good evening, Sister Amanda. This is Sister Mary. I heard you speak about when Christ come. I just came on the line. He will meet two people. But you know, I never heard you said, and I don't remember, I have a problem with my memory, but however, I didn't hear you stated that the 144,000 that God would have caught in the church, and of course you have the great multitude, but let's not speak of the great multitude, because the great multitude is Christendom, is in the world. But the 144,000, it's in the church. Whether you and I would make up that 144,000 or not, he will come for 144,000 plus the great multitude. I didn't hear you say that.
Hallelujah.
All right.
I didn't
well,
say that.
What that
you
all
know,
right.
I don't remember the place where you found it or in the spirit of prophecy, but I read that in Word to the Little Flock, and I read that in, oh, Jesus, help me. I forget this testimony. And I never yet said that the 144,000. That is
all
in
right.
The church. Because you and I may out of the church, and the ones in the church may come in the church, or you and I might be there. I never hear you speak of that.
All right, I am speaking on principle of the scriptures that we are reading. Now, if you want to study the 144, that would broaden the principle and the group of those who proclaim. Now, if you turn your Bible, that's why if you were at the beginning, you probably would have followed the sequence. and order of Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Now, when the scripture says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, can someone read it? You see, reading the Ellen G. White writing without the scripture has been confusing a lot of us.
No, Sister Amanda, I don't think so. Give me one second.
I'm not addressing you as an individual. I have been confused, let me say, by this. When God began to lead me to this study, I thought that I should have been praying to be a white virgin. But I've never saw the third group, behold, is true studying that God has pointed out. Now, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 will give us some answers. Can someone kindly read it?
Revelation chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6.
No, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6.
And he said,
and he made us to be a kingdom.
Him to glorify and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Can someone read that over again with the clarity? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, please.
And he made
us to be a prince and he made us to be a kingdom to be priests unto his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
All right. If you notice in that scripture, thank you very much, there are two categories. There are two titles, I should say. They are king and they are priest.
And has made us
kings and priests.
All right.
To God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
All right.
Somebody else cut me off.
That's okay. But once you have it, there are two titles given to the group. In that group of the wise, those who are proclaiming, the bridegroom cometh, and the wise join them, then in that one group now, there are two titles given. They are kings and they are priests. All right? That's what the Bible says. They are kings and they are priests. Now, for further studies, you can pick up the title on kings, and then you will go back and you would see how the 144,000 fit under that category. All right, characteristic under that category. You just can't jump around in the scriptures and recite the scripture without understanding law and principle. If something that the scripture says in Isaiah, why not read Isaiah chapter 8 and verse? Let one person read and read with the clarity and pause at every comma so that we can understand. If this topic here is not understood according to the Word of God, then we have no foundation.
Sister Amanda, can you read through the scripture?
Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. If someone could kindly read it, please. Thank you.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak that according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Amen. Thank you. In other words, when we speak, you have to speak what? Law. Now, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 tells us he is putting the law in the mind and he's writing the law in the heart, and what comes through the mouth? Law and principle, according to the testimony of the experience of one. Right? So you have to understand your experience on law and testimony. I'm going to read here and conclude here, and then you could ask questions in Faith and Works. Listen carefully to the pen of inspiration in page 88, Satan Works. It's one thing to talk about the scriptures, it's the next thing to understand through the experience the scriptures. And I think that a lot of us, including myself, lack the application and the understanding. When we testify, we spend a lot of time talking about the events. If we had a deeper and a closer relationship with Him, it would be law and principle. Listen to what Ellen G. White says here in Faith and Works on page 88, the very second paragraph. Listen carefully. It says, when the Savior imparts His peace to the soul, the heart will be in perfect harmony with the Word of God. All right? So you can't have peace without repentance. So when the awakening of repentance is taking place, you are understanding it on the Word of God. I'll continue. When the Savior imparts His peace to the soul, the heart will be in perfect harmony with the Word of God. For the Spirit and the Word agree. The Lord honors His Word in all His dealings with men. It is His own will, His own voice that is revealed to men. And He has no new will, no new truth aside from His Word to unfold to His children. If you have a wonderful experience that is not in harmony with express direction of God's Word, you may well doubt it, for its origin is not from above. The peace of Christ comes through the knowledge of Jesus, whom the Bible reveals. Now, isn't that an ouch? How many times we have experiences and we cannot articulate it through the Word of God? How many times, eh? I'm going to read this over. And so we can pray. Because what is this she's saying to us? In other words, Isaiah 8 and verse 20, we talk about it, but we are not experiencing it. Right? We are not experiencing it. Because what's supposed to come out of my lips from my heart is the law of God. It's the law of God. Now, I'm going to read this over again for us to really to pray this through. It's not how much you do, how much you know, how much your experience according to the law of God understood, you and I will be able to give Bible studies. We will become living epistles. Right? And the Spirit of God will align. He's looking for that intimacy. He's looking for character. We've been preaching and teaching without character. So that's why prayer is so essential. It says, own will, His own voice that is revealed to men. And He has no new will put aside from His Word to unfold His children. If you have a wonderful experience that is not in harmony with express direction of God's Word, you may well doubt it, for its origin is not from above. The peace of Christ comes through the knowledge of Jesus, whom the Bible revealed. Loving Father, this is a strong statement. Many of us prepare to be led, to know, to be guided, and all of us lack the intimacy that this quotation speaks about. Look down upon us the beginning of this new week, and as we continue to pray and fast, journeying with you, allowing the scriptures to wash us, live, and we ask for an understanding. Grant a new thing to us, Lord, for the coming is sure and your coming is near. Give us an experience so we can articulate through the law of God as we continue to look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Anyone else would like to pray? You heard us.
Father in heaven tonight, I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. And as I listen, dear Lord, I have learned much. But I ask you, dear Lord, through your word, give me the understanding so that I can practice it all out into my daily life. Give me the peace so that when hearing what I'm doing or saying and it's not right, I will be able to surrender once again to you. Teach me thy way, O Lord, so that I will learn not only for myself, but as I learn, I will be able to share it with others. I will be glad to all what I've heard on the line tonight through the anointing of your Holy Spirit about your sanctuary and all that was heard, that I will be able to digest it, to come to it, go back to the scriptures, all what I have written down and read again, so that when I speak, I know I will be speaking about you through your word. Lord, give my sister, and thanking you, Lord, for the patience that she has with us as she speaks and as we ask questions, she are dear because you are working in her to will and to do your good pleasure. I thank you for tonight, and I ask again, give me the understanding of what was being said in no other name but in Jesus' name. Amen.
And loving Lord, I touch and agree with that prayer. And I realize that many times I fail, realizing that the Bible is not for any private interpretation, but as I study line upon line, precept upon precept, I will understand clearer what I am understanding, because I've not gotten to the end of your interpretation of your word for me. So help me to study and spend time in my closet so I can understand what you are making clear to me here, spending time in your word so that your word will be meat and life for me. Thank you for the way you have used Amanda today, because I've gotten clarity in a lot of things and I thought I knew. Help me to live in your word and abide by your word for myself and not contradict your word, because it's medicine and it's clearer and clearer day by day. And I understand now clearly when you say give us this day our daily bread, because we don't understand it all. Day by day, moment by moment, it becomes clear to us. Help me to be vigilant and watchful and study on a daily basis. I pray. Amen.
Amen. Loving Father in heaven, please help me where I am weak. Strengthen me. Where I am not able, please, by your grace, may I be able. By your power and your grace, may I be able, Lord, to study, to know things of the purpose, see, which I did not understand clearly. And I cannot do it on my own. Without your power, your Holy Spirit, to come and dwell in me, open my eyes and my intellectual, my brain, so that I can understand my heart to know the right way to follow. As I pray, Lord, I pray for my family. I am not praying on my own alone. My family, my children, grandchildren, my true family extended so that we can walk in the right way, where you want us to be, where we can see Christ in hallelujah, in the sanctuary, to hear your voice the direct way, to study, to teach others as we understand it. We understand and know. I will be able to teach others your word. Help me. And help everyone of us today on this line to do that which is good today and to mankind. I pray and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Before I continue, time is almost up. Anyone would like to give God thanks? Thanksgiving is a great way for retaining the scriptures. It's a great way to retain. It's a principle of how God uses, or the Spirit of God uses, to retain the scriptures. Remember when I gave you glorify thy name, and we looked at the frontal lobe, and I said the law of the frontal lobe is reasoning and judgment, reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. And then we look at the law, the four aspects of the law, the letter of the law, the spirit of the law in service, which is love, and then the love of in character. Now, those, when I gave you that, that's an everyday journey with Jesus. I share an experience with you. Now, when I did a Bible study on the other line, Sister Pauline, many of you probably heard, Sister Pauline asked me, Sister Amanda, which book you're reading from? Because I'm not reading from any book. I'm reading because I was able to give, God was able to minister through me Bible study for a couple of weeks based on experience. I begin to ask God, because when I read this statement in faith and work, I realize if I'm looking for it, if I'm making the preparation, then God will give it to me. Right? So I don't like paying bills. I don't like reasoning to get bargains. But I was changing one phone company to the next, and I had to break a contract. And they were charging me $310. Now, I had the law, both sides, the frontal lobe and the other, which runs in harmony together. I did a little neurology, so I understand a little of the brain and how it works. So in negotiating, the first day I went was a Friday morning. The guy applied. The other company said, Amanda, I'll pay the bill if you join us. So I went with them. I'm going to break the contract then. So I went in the Friday morning. When he applied to get the $310, it did not go through. It was rejected. So, he said, come back in the evening. Of course, I couldn't because it's Friday. So Sunday, I went back again. And I waited and, spoke to one of the representatives. They called, waited like an probably like a good 45 minutes, did not get through the set on Monday. All right, went on Monday, went in the evening now. Decided to get there. I got there after work around 6 o'clock, waited. The store closed. Now, 6 o'clock, we got the rep. They apply and it's rejected. So he said he's going to call. So he called and I began speaking with the representative there. Now, when speaking to him, I get agitated a lot. These little Amandas, they're not easy, you know? So I begin to apply the law of the frontal lobe. Now, I am a right-hander. So I began writing with my left hand. In other words, to bring control of thought. Right? Self-control. So the minute I wrote, the first thing I wrote on the paper, I began applying the knowledge that God has lent me. This is a beautiful thing. I began writing my name. And the first thing I wrote was Amanda. Right away, the Spirit of God began to talk. Self-centeredness. Because I was angry and frustrated already with the individual. Because he was asking all these questions. And I'm like, I am here in your office. I'm here with your representative. I have all my documents. I am giving you the number of my own account and all of that. So when I begin to see that, you know, this is not a good thing for me, I begin. I'm not teaching what I don't practice. I am teaching that which I practice. I'm practically beginning to learn to live my religion. Do I fail? Yes, I fail many times. But that does not mean that I'm not practicing. So as writing with Amanda, the Spirit of, I can hear the Spirit of God clear and strong. Oh, Amanda, right away you see yourself. You don't understand what's happening with the young man over there on the other end of the telephone. Right away, the Spirit of God, what does the scripture say? He just, when the Spirit of Christ comes, he comes to reprove and tell of her. So the scripture begin to become a reality. I begin to realize he wants to do something in my heart. Right away, what happens? True confession begins. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for this attitude. Then I began writing Christ. I'm writing a conversation going on, and the representatives are there. I began writing with my left hand in control for my brain to be focused. Right? Now, I waited until 8 o'clock. The store closed at 8:30, and I got no result. But something happened to me. Something happened. I was calm. Something happened. The Spirit was able to do a work within me. No, it wasn't a guesswork. I began to see law, and then I began to apply the scriptures to my heart. Then that comfort and peace took control, the constraining love of Christ. So I went home. Tuesday morning now, when I called back again, I called from work, had it called in. In less than 5 minutes, the situation was over. All right, I got through, decisions were made, I got what I wanted. Now, in those 4 days journeying with God, that specific Monday, I, God, the Spirit of God, utilized the law to bring about the experience. I think what happened, and I've been striving to do that, out of that experience came a month of Bible studies. And so when Sister Pauline asked, I was doing the Lord's Prayer, and so when she asked, which book you're reading from, I said, I have no book. Make sure you take the scriptures down. I have no book. It is literally an experience that I had, and I've been cultivating that type of experience with Christ. I think I want to encourage you. When you pray in the morning, the Spirit of God will align in your mind scriptures. Now, the pattern of the sanctuary is always the instructor. Remember, Christ is the author. He is the instructor, and he is the interpreter. So when that is hung up in my memorial hall and the scripture is there, you're meditating and contemplating. In other words, I am looking for an experience with Jesus. So I want to encourage you. I notice when that's why you blame the devil so often. It means that something is happening, it's hindering the heart from being pliable to the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying it easy. I'm not saying all experience is present. Practically, the experiences are not present at all. But God begins to do something. He begins to give the heart some oil. So go forth in the morning. When you study, when you get that sanctuary in the head, you can do it. Because he said, and then appreciate that which. Give God thanks. Thank God for those who you're ministering to. Look to see the cup half full rather than half empty. You know, we could be so fretful in life and seeing the mistakes of the pastors, the churches, and what's going on. And it hinders the Spirit from bringing about the experience that is necessary. Listen, saying, God has this whole world in his hands. And he is just like how we are waiting for the power. You believe we are waiting? God is waiting to give. Heaven is anxious to give that power, but there is a preparation that needs to take place in the heart, and God cannot do it for us. We have to do that which we can do so his purpose could be fulfilled in our lives. We need good Bible studies and prayer, and then go forth with expectation. It's that day's journey every day. Every day is that day's journey. But I think a lot of times they've been eating the wrong bread. I do believe many of us have been eating the wrong bread. So we are constipated. Right? We're constipated. But I want to encourage you, look for the experience. Look for the, hang up that in your head. The reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. In that, I begin to see, when I begin to reason according to the word and apply it to the heart, it gave me a better judgment not to judge the other guy on the other end, so that the will of God could have been fulfilled in and through my life. In other words, the letter of the law, enlightened by the spirit of the law, helped me to manifest characteristics of Christ so that his character could be, I can become clean in preparation for his character to take place in my life. All right, so I really want to encourage you to look for the experience. After Jesus prayed, he went forth looking for the experience. He was led by the Spirit. When the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, enter into your closet. When you leave the closet, you are led by the Spirit of God. And he said, there is no temptation that will come unto us that he has not made a way of escape. No temptation. You've been overshadowed. The scripture says, he that dwelleth, it becomes practicality, practical living. And constantly, those who are living in the most holy are being reproved constantly. I see my ugliness. Oh, how I see these little Amandas coming up. But I thank God, because when you see them coming out, I can make true confession so I can experience, he can grant me that experience of sorrowing of sin. Loving Father, breathe upon your people. You have seen our perplexities, the lack of understanding in our lives, and even one or two experiences is not good enough. So none of us could really pat our backs. But we bow in your presence with the understanding of the solemnity and the time in which we are living. Diagnose us, Lord. Diagnose us. I pray that each member of this line will go to you to be properly diagnosed, so we can utilize the medication from our great physician, so you can bring about the healing, establishing us on the platform of faith, so you can love through us, pray through us, teach through us, and do that which will glorify your son's name. Thank you again for being patient, long-suffering, and merciful towards us. Thank you for the loving arms that has encircled humanity. May we continue to appreciate the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. All right, any questions, any prayer as we wrap up now? That's it. Anyone?
I was just thinking, as you were saying, that the Lord wants to give us He wants to answer that prayer and fill us, but we need to make the preparation. And I was just thinking about Mark chapter 2, verse 22, that says, and no man puts this new wine into old bottles, else the new wine does burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled. And so I understand how the Lord wants to wants us to do that preparation and be ready so that he can feel us.
Amen. Is it the Pharisaical doctrine that he could not, he couldn't minister to them because of their doctrine? They could not accept Christ. And that's why he went and he got fishermen.
You are so right about that.
Anyone else? Any thoughts? Any prayer?
Precious Lord, thank you. Please, take away the spirit of obedience, disobedience in us. Give us the mind of Jesus Christ so we can accept your word. Accept you and do that so that the healing from heaven, the balm, will heal us from the infirmity so that we can be able to understand you, your word, and accept them, to live in them, and embrace your word, so that the Holy Spirit will abide in us. So everything Jesus Christ have done in our behalf, in our families, in our homes, will never be in vain. Please, help me to continue to follow your footsteps. And all of us. Thank you for Sister Amanda. Thank you for Sister Moi. Thank you for Sister Joanna. And myself and the rest of them that are listening. Bless them and be with them. Hold all of us together. And our homes and our family. Wash us and our eyes with the eyes out of heaven. That we can see clearly. I pray and I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right. Can someone close us off in giving God thanks? If you've been blessed, just give him thanks.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we have heard. Thank you for what we have understood, and help us to understand better, and help us to have an experience with you, with this message. Please help us to make the preparation. Help me to make the preparations that I need to make so that you will feel me, so that you can use me. And please help me to be not to be neglectful, but to act as you move me, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can I say something about your prayer? Go ahead.
Come on.
I want to say this to us. You notice he's been helping you, aren't you, on the prayer and fasting team? So rather than begging, you begin to appreciate that which God has been doing. Right? So you begin to thank God for bringing an awakening to your mind. Now, remember the scripture in Ezekiel? He can't give me a knee experience if I don't have an ankle. So in other words, in principle, if I can't appreciate this, he can't give me bigger or higher. All right, so begin to appreciate that which God has been doing in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Rather than coming. A lot of times when we come, like, oh, Lord, help me to do it, because we're fearful, we're not studying the word to see this beauty. This God loves us. He gave his only beloved son for us. So he doesn't want any man to perish. But he wants us to identify and to appreciate the blessings that he's giving to us. So in our prayer, we'll begin to stem that. Right? You begin to appreciate, dear God, that the aroma. When thanksgiving begins to flow, you know what happens? The angels of heaven come closer to you. Right? The angels of heaven come, and angels are used also to help imbue us with thought. Right? Helping to keep the heart and the mind open to the working of the Spirit of God within. So, give God thanks for that. Somebody was saying something before I addressed the prayer. Loving Father. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Loving Father, thank you so much. Give me the spirit of appreciate. give me the spirit of acknowledge things you have done for me and done for all of us, because you have done wonderful. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, just when we read that scripture, you have to get this thing in the mind, the reason, you have to start filtering your thoughts. When we read that scripture about the garment of salvation is a gift, those things are already given to us, but it's the appreciation and the work of the giver of the gift that needs to be done in the heart. Because those gifts are, once we are fitted up, or once we are cleaned up, we identify the gifts and we appreciate the gifts, because they're all there. Once you're living in the most holy place by doctrine and action, right, to the law, these gifts are given all, they are there already for us. But he can't endow us with certain gifts if we are not appreciating that which he has lent to us. Now, the scripture tells us it's not only submitting and surrendering that God needs, but he also wants us to utilize the talents or the gifts that he has lent to help others on the Christian pathway. Right? So it's like that sequential order all the time. Every day. It's a day's journey. All right? Okay, so I pray that all is well, and as we get up tomorrow again at 7, we would be, the ephod, I think, is the topic. We would look into that as we continue to journey with God, and as the Word of God continues to do that work within us. Let us appreciate his gift a little bit more, and appreciate the gifts to each other a little bit more, as he continued to prepare a people upon this earth to transform port into eternity. All right? Have a
Thank you. Revive the church today. Revive the church.